Victory in Jesus. You know, in each word there is a whole lot of meaning to it. It's not a word in there that's not said, that is not meaningful. And it's to each one of us. It says, I heard. I have heard the old story. Our Savior came from glory. He left heaven's portals. Amen. And he took up the form of man, that he would go and die for me and die for you. And I thank the Lord for that. If it wasn't for the old story. And you know something, the old story is not that old. It's just as new today as it was the day that I first heard it. How a Savior came from glory. And it says down here, said to, then I repented of my sin. Ooh, Lord. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. When I read repented of my sins, I called on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he forgave me for my past, my present, and my future sin. It's nothing that I can go to the Lord that he's not there to help me and to answer prayer. And I really do think that. But here up here in the second verse, the second stanza right here, I heard about his healing. This healing is not talking about the healing of salvation and healing our soul. This is, I believe, that he's speaking about the individual, the infirmities of the body. He's the only one that can heal us. Amen. And I know that. And you do too. Yes. But oh, victory. Oh, victory. The victory stands for nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. But this evening, for a few moments here, we're going to be in First Peter. I think that's right. Let me see. No, yeah, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. But before we go and start reading there, I want to go back and I want to read a verse of scripture. Right here in 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, in verse 16, it says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteousness sacredly be saved, Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their soul to him in well-doing as unto faithful creators. In verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, the elders which are among the elders which are among you, I exalt, whom am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherds shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye and all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for ye. Be sober, be vigilant, because of your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that you have given us the desire to be in thy house this evening. And Father, with that desire, O Lord, we pray, Father, for that unction from on high, God, that you may help me to deliver the message that I need of tonight. I stand in need of prayer. I stand in need of you speaking to my heart and to my soul. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, you be with the people that is here. And for the visitor that's here also, Lord, we just pray, God, that you'll just touch the hearts and the lives of each one. That, Father, that they can look and they can hear the words of God being spoken, and they can understand that it's you speaking. We just want to thank you, we want to love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. It says in verse 6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7 says, casting all of what? Our cares upon him, for he careth for you. He careth for you. He careth for the people. He careth for humanity. He careth for Each and every individual. He don't want to see no one die and go to hell. That's the reason he came. He came that them that's lost will come to know him. And I'm so thankful that I did at the age of 30. And I wished it had been a whole lot sooner. I wished I was a teenager. I wished I was a young lad. But I wasn't. The Lord knew exactly what he was doing. He knows exactly when to show up. And I'm so thankful he does. Because it is just a good possibility that if I had got saved at a younger age, as a teenager, something like that, I may have been in church, got in church, and yet I might have got out of church. And then I got running with maybe some of my friends and started thinking about it. Said, well, I'm young now. I need to go ahead and sow my wild oats. We ain't got nothing to sow. We ain't got no wild oats to sow. The only thing that we have to sow is God's word. That's the only thing that we need to do is sow his word. Yes, we can sow it. We can sow it on the hard ground, which when it hits the ground, and then the sun comes out, and then it rains and everything, what does it do? It just sits right there on top. Sits there right there on top of the ground. Because why? Because the ground has not been disturbed. It hasn't been tilled. Now, if we don't go out there during the summertime or the springtime and say, well, I'm gonna plant me a row of snaps or butter beans or peas or something like that. We don't go out there and just say, well, I'm gonna plant me a row of snaps. Just go out there and throw them down. That's useless. We're wasting our time and we're wasting God's money. We don't need to do it that way. We need to realize that we must do it to where we bring forth the fruit. It will bring forth something that where we can be able to eat upon. I haven't seen anybody yet that wants to go out there and pick butter beans in a briar patch. Have you? I don't really like going in a briar patch. When I can go out there and I can go into a field where it's been plowed, where the land has been turned over, has been cultivated, and now the soil is not lumps of soil, right? It's cultivated to the point that then that they can make a row. When they make that row, what do? They put fertilizer in. They put something that will help for that seed to come forth and to flourish. But first of all, they've got to have me and you to plant that seed. If we don't plant that seed, have we got anybody else that's going to come and plant it for us? No. We have got to plant that seed. Just like what God said, we must go out and plant the seed that he has so graciously give us to where we can plant it. And that is the Word of God. That is the Word of God. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21, 22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Peace, happiness? The fruit of the Spirit is first of all love. Without love, you cannot have no peace. Without love, you cannot have no joy. Without love, you cannot have no meekness, and you can't have no humility. You have to have love. To focus on that one specific thing. And then when we do, when we understand how important love is, then love will lead us to the joy that we have. Not only just the joy, but also it will lead us to the peace that passes all understanding. We can go to bed at night and lay our head down and not worry about tomorrow. Why? Because we have the love of God in our heart. And if you're not saved, you cannot have the love of God in your heart. You have to be saved. And when you are, you'll know it. Why? Because God He will chasten us. He will bring chastisement upon us if we're saved and we don't love people. I don't know if I said here the other week or whatever, but I know of a preacher right today that's pastoring a church. He told me that he told his wife when they got married 25, 30, 35, 40, I don't know how many years it's been. He said he told her then that I love her. I love you. But he said, I haven't told her since then. Instead, I would tell her that if anything changed, I would tell her. He don't love people. He don't love you. He don't love people as I hear on the side of the highway. Now, how can he be called of God to stand behind the sacred desk and pick up God's word and read it and preach it? He can't. It's impossible. He cannot do it. Oh, yes, he tries. He tries at it. But he cannot teach it. He cannot preach it without conviction, without love. We must have the humility of God on us. And we must care for people. There won't be one individual down here that I knew before I come here two years ago or whatever. One individual that I knew, and that was Brother Bill Huff. I knew him. I didn't know the rest of you. But can you imagine me coming in here? And the only one that I'd speak to would be Brother Bill. I didn't recognize you. I didn't recognize the visitors when the visitors come in. I didn't recognize no one. Because I didn't have love for them. Do you honestly believe that people is going to put their trust in me? which they shouldn't anyhow, but as an under shepherd, are they going to put me under their care, where I can look after the flock? That's what my job is. That's what my duty is. That is what God has given me. God has given me the way I care for you. I don't only just care for you, but I care for other people that are around. This lady right here, she come in. I don't know her, never seen her. But I care for her. I love her. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. He put his love within me. And that's the only way that churches today can keep going on. Yes, and I've had people in the last month says, "Preacher, I don't understand. I don't understand why you keep going down to Faith Baptist Church. You don't have but 8 or 10 on Sunday morning." I said, "Well," I said, 8 or 10, I said, "Well, I look at this way. I got 32 or 40. They said, "Well, you mean, is people getting saved? I mean, is the church growing? Is people coming in?" Every time an individual comes in, they're saved by the marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not alone. They're not alone. They have God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and then you. That is four individuals. We're speaking of each one of us, and we're speaking about the triune God, the three in one. So don't come tell me we just had 9 on Sunday morning. We had 36. Don't tell me we had 9. Because that's not right. Every individual that's been born again, every individual that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Master and their Savior, I've never found no way in the Bible it says, "Donnie, you're saved. Now you go defend for yourself." No. He don't tell me that. He tells me over in John chapter 14 that he provides a comforter that will help me to go from day to day. That comforter is what comforts me and comforts and soothes my heart. That comforter, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power and the precious Holy Spirit, the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost of God. Some people say, "Oh no, now he's going to get fanatical now. I mean, he's going to mention something about the Holy Ghost. He's going to mention something about the Holy Spirit." Well, I'm going to tell you what. If we don't mention the Holy Spirit, if we don't mention the Holy Ghost, we need to get scared. We need to get scared because we're headed for a damnation. We're headed toward hell. We need to fear God. We need to fear the Savior. and we need to fear the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." My heart is not troubled this morning. Why? Why is my heart not troubled? Because I trusted in a Savior. I trusted in a Savior that Savior could keep me. That I didn't have to put my trust in someone that will let me down. Let your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, than heaven, for the Father's house is heaven. But it also says right there, in my Father's house are many mansions. Many mansions. You know, if God, and when I get to heaven, if God said, "Well, Donnie, this is your mansion right here. And if it's no bigger than what we call an outhouse, if it's no bigger than that, still a mansion." You know why? Because God said so. Because He said it was a mansion. And He don't give us something that He says, "Well, if it wasn't so, I would have told you." He said, "Well, Donna, you know, I'm going to give you this little mansion over here. Here it is. The welcome sign is already out for you. Then I get there and I look at it. And I say, you know, this is not even as big as my bedroom that I had while I was on earth." But He says, and I love this, "If it were not so." If it was not so, if it was the mansion that He has mentioned, if it was not going to be a mansion, He would have told me. And you know what He's told me? That there's a mansion. He's told me no different. The Word of God has told me no different. I know what other Bible reads. The other Bible I hear they read, "In my Father's house are many rooms." Well, I'm living in a house right now that's got many rooms in it. It's not considered a mansion. I take God truthful in what He says. And I just don't look at it like, "Well, God said this, but He really meant that." No, God said what He meant. And He meant what He said. And it says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto Him, "Lord, we know not whether Thou goest, or how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth." through His way and through His truth, He gives life. And the life no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye know me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Verse 16, it says, and I will pray the Comforter. This is Jesus Christ. Him is speaking. He is speaking to his disciples. He is speaking to the people of that time. And he's saying, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He's not going to leave us alone. He's not going to leave me by myself for me to take on the devil. I can't take on the devil. You can't take on the devil. No one can. We can get an army of people right here in this church and say, we are going to take on the devil. We cannot take on the devil. We don't have the strength. We don't have the ability. And we don't have the power to take him on. And this is my favorite verse of all the verses. Chapter 14 and verse 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. When we read and when we study the Word of God, that's when God speaks to us. When we speak to God, that's through prayer. And God is saying to us, when we read this book, and he's saying, he says, what you don't understand, now today, is not meant for today. What I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you when you need it. I'm going to give it to you when you need it. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I said something to Sister Donna and Brother Bill and everybody else here in the church at that time. I believe it was on a Wednesday night. I said, you know something? God does not waste a miracle. He don't. God does not waste a miracle. And God will not waste his word as we read it. It has a settling point within our heart, within our soul, that we can use it when he gives it to us. I mean, I can't start saying, well, I know how you feel or how they feel. No, I haven't been there. If I ever go through that, then I make him say it. But even saying it, still really can't say it and being truthful about it. because everything affects us differently than others. Everyone stand, head bowed and eyes closed. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, we're just asking God that you just be with the invitation time, Father. And Lord, I pray this evening, Father, if the message, Father, has struck a chord with anyone here tonight, Lord, we pray, Father, that they'll just step out by faith, that they will just step out and come to an old-fashioned altar, and they will just ask Jesus Christ to help them along the way. Father, we are thankful people. And I do thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.